Could a ghost hug another ghost? If Leonardo da Vinci was such a great inventor, why didn't he invent something to keep him alive? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life. Hello, everyone. Hey. Welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the best comedy paranormal podcast based out of this bedroom. My name is Roy Powers. This guy's name is Kit Greer. And if you're new to the show, every week, what we do is we investigate a brand new paranormal tale, case claim, story, whatever it is, and come to a conclusion at the end of the show to decide whether it is true or it is false. Our sponsor for this week is a little company called, their site is www.mindyourownbusiness. It's classified. So we can't tell you who they are. Don't ask any more questions.
They are a VPN server. That's right. We're bringing you internet privacy to the masses, people.
That would be a great sponsor if it was.
It would be right up our alley.
Right up. If we got sponsored by a VPN company, a place that made custom katanas.
Yeah.
And a factory in China that made Men in Black cosplay.
Company robes. That makes robes.
Robes would be fantastic. Well, anyway, this is This Paranormal Life. I have a fantastic story for you this week, Kit.
Oh.
It's actually another listener submission.
Get out of here.
That's right.
This guy's just knocking it out of the park every week.
So many good submissions these days. This one is from Emily Morin Fournier, which I hopefully pronounced right. She emailed into thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com and she said, "Hello, I'm a big fan of the podcast and enjoy the weekly investigations and jokes. One well-documented mystery I think you might like to investigate is the Falcon Lake incident. This is an alleged UFO encounter that happened in Falcon Lake, Canada, and there are pictures of the encounter."
That's great.
"I'm not quite sure what I believe, but I think you'd find the case really interesting. Best, Emily."
Thanks, Emily.
Great email. I emailed back. She didn't respond. I assume she's been taken.
Right.
This was her last correspondence.
We're narcs. We hand over people's personal information as soon as they...
No. Oh, remember to send in your...
I forgot who's listening.
Remember to send in your... the longest con of all time to do 120 episodes of a paranormal podcast to convince
CIA projects have existed, people.
I mean, that is true. I think at one point the CIA was funding a woman to give drugs to a dolphin.
Oh yeah.
And she ended up having sex with it.
I think they were funding her to jack off the dolphins more than that.
So you're right, this probably wouldn't be the strangest CIA operation. But this isn't a CIA operation, guys. We're on the good side. The side of truth and light and justice and freedom and power and money. And I'm here today to drop a big old T-bomb right on the plate.
You're back in the military somehow. It started with truth and light and it ended with you dropping a bomb.
Myself and Officer Kit have never been involved in a CIA operation.
I mean, Lieutenant. I mean, Kit.
Kit, please tell these people we're not narcs. Affirmative. We are one of you. The public. I love a beer and Love Island. Let's go, local sports team. All right, we dilly-dallied enough. Let's get into this bad boy. It's 1976, and one of Canada's finest police officers is out on patrol in the wilderness of Winnipeg.
What makes him the finest?
He's on the force.
He's the hottest?
Yeah, he's gorgeous. He's an absolute 10.
7'1", muscle bond.
When all of a sudden, a man bursts out of the trees. He's out of breath, injured, and his clothes are badly burned.
The finest officer pulls his handgun. "You've got 10 seconds, bud, or else I'm blasting your ass back into that bush."
The police officer goes to help the stranger, but the man cries for him to stay away because he's radioactive.
Surely not.
Who is this strange man? What happened to him? Let's hashtag investigate. It's May 20th, 1967, and an industrial mechanic named Stefan Mikalak was wandering by himself in the wilderness of Winnipeg. Now, Stefan was a bit of an amateur geologist who enjoyed prospecting in his spare time, mining for silver and quartz. A regular old treasure hunter.
So what did you say his day job was again?
He's an industrial mechanic.
I feel like that's a tiring enough job as it is.
That's true.
To not get into mining for minerals.
But also, if you're going to take your equipment from work, from your work as an industrial mechanic, and use that in your spare time.
Yeah.
Mining for diamonds is a pretty good thing to do with that equipment.
You're probably not going to go to a ballet class.
No.
You're right.
But Stefan didn't realize that the treasure he would come across that day would scar him for life.
This is not a treasure then.
And the only thing he should have mined was his own damn business. Stefan was walking alone through the woods by Falcon Lake when he heard a strange rustling in some of the nearby bushes. He cried out, "Hello?" But there was no response. Then, the 51-year-old claims he heard a quiet honking sound. Then more, then more. Then suddenly a large gaggle of geese burst out from the bushes, honking like mad.
There's not many things that honk, so that makes sense.
He should have known, I think, by first honk.
Yeah.
That it was going to be a goose. But that doesn't mean that's not something to be afraid of, because I don't know if you have had many experiences with geese, but those motherfuckers are fearless.
I mean, they're pretty aggressive. But this guy's an industrial mechanic who also hunts for diamonds in his spare time. He's probably got a wrench he could bash the geese with.
That's true. But you can't mine a goose. No. And this is a whole gaggle of them. I honestly think, because, you know, everyone bigs up like, oh, I want the heart of a lion. You should ask for the heart of a goose.
Yeah.
Fearless creatures.
A goose lives like it's never going to die.
Yeah. That's 100%. Every day it goes and gets that bread. A goose is what you... A lion? Lions are almost extinct. Those sons of bitch... Did you see what happened to Mufasa? You don't want the heart of that son of a bitch. He got trampled by wildebeests.
Lions are, you know, we've seen The Lion King. Lions are out there, you know, spending time with their families, hanging out in clouds, philosophizing. Geese, on the other hand, they're like Bane. They're born in the darkness. Born in the swamps, and they just honk their way to the top, killing anything that gets in their way.
Honestly, a genie pops out of a lamp and says, "Three wishes, what do you want?" I'm going straight off the bat, heart of a goose.
Feet of a goose.
I want the resourcefulness of a rat, because those sons of bitches don't die either. They're pretty much apocalypse proof. And maybe like the strength of a beetle, because that's the trifecta right there.
The genie doesn't know what to do. He just turns you into a beetle. So you could just ask to be resourceful.
But Stefan, as you said, he's a brave guy with a lot of tools. He laughs off the encounter and he went on to continue his prospecting. But what had startled these geese to begin with? Stefan heard a low buzzing noise and looked upward towards the sky to try and see what it was. Through the trees, he could make out the faint red glow of two strange cigar-shaped objects.
Hmm.
One of the crafts slowly descended towards the rocks below, while the other craft floated ominously for a short period before taking off. Now, Stefan was an intelligent guy, but he was still only an industrial mechanic. You know, he wasn't qualified by any standard to have a guess at what this thing was, beyond his pay grade. But from what he saw, he assumed it must have been some sort of experimental U.S. military craft.
It's a good guess.
It's quite a logical place to go to, in his defense. So for the meantime, he kept his distance. Now, with the craft in sight, Stefan sat for a half hour and sketched out its appearance.
Wow.
Yeah, so he had a lot of time.
I'm starting to like this guy. He's pretty resourceful.
And he's making some rational decisions. He's like, okay, this must be some... He's thinking logically. It must be some sort of experimental military craft. I'm just going to keep my distance, draw a little picture. So if anyone asks, I'm like, bam, this is what it looked
like. Big mistake, punk. They pull a revolver on him.
A space gun, yeah.
You're taking unauthorized sketches of military technology.
Along with the sketches, he also made notes mentioning the whirring sound of motors, hot air, and the alarming smell of sulfur.
Continuous honking. Oh, no, that was the geese again.
Yeah,
sure.
The pitter-patter of little gray feet on the... That was goose feet. Yeah. That was a goose.
They are gray, but still goose feet.
Goose feet. The aliens' eggs? Massive and white?
You know what? The thing wasn't cigar-shaped. It was goose-shaped. Of course it was goose-shaped.
I'm like, this is his sketch of the craft. Just a picture of a goose. What had startled these geese? It was a bigger goose. A bigger goose. It was a f-ing swan, actually. He came out of nowhere. I actually have a picture of the craft that he drew here, the sketching, with his marks.
I would love
to
see this.
This is a great case because I have so much evidence to show you, and I feel like we haven't had that in a while. So thank you so much for emailing this case in. Take a look, little look here at the sketch that he drew that night.
Ooh, wow. It's a good thing you shouted out Da Vinci at the top of this episode, because this is a very distinguished sketch. He's gone into great detail. He's done some tasteful shading
with his
charcoal pencils here. And then he's done in cursive, that kind of very, very fancy sort of shorthand cursive that's impossible for anyone but the writer to read. I don't know if I would describe this as cigar-shaped.
Yeah, I mean, gun to my head, I would say he drew a UFO.
It's a straight up UFO.
It's a flying saucer for sure.
Yeah, it's a very, very typical flying saucer.
I don't necessarily know what kind of cigars Stefan is smoking.
I think he's smoking blunts. I think he's trying to be frank here. I mean, I guess the idea, if you imagine a classic UFO, it's like bulging in the middle and thinner at the edges.
Yeah.
I guess cigars are a little bit like that. Do you know what these notes say or mean?
Some like measurements about the craft, like guessing the distances. Some are just mentioning the tiny little finer details, but I think a lot of it is mentioning the sound of the motors, the hot air, the smell of sulfur, little details like that that are actually just emanating from the craft rather than about the craft itself.
Got it. That makes sense.
Now, despite some outlandish claims so far, this is where our story gets crazy. Stefan noted, which you can see in the illustration, that there was a door open on one of the sides, and inside he could make out the glow of bright lights inside the craft. Now, before he could approach, he heard two voices by the craft. Stefan, being a mechanic and quite an educated man, cried out, I don't know what his accent is, so I'm just gonna have a swing of something. Do you Yankee boys need some mechanical help?
What? Don't call him Yankee boys. What?
I think that's a dig at a military profession. Calling him like a Yankee boy.
Really?
Because we're in Canada.
If someone's got an experimental death craft, call him a Yankee boy.
You need little Yankee doodle bastards need some help with your toy plane. I got a light for your cigar, eh?
It's like you're out for a hike and a Lockheed and Martin stealth craft ripples through at 1,000 miles per hour, comes to a screeching halt and lands. It's a X-Men plane. Armed military guards come down. You're like, any of you rednecks need a hand from a real man?
But the voices just stopped talking.
Huh.
So Stefan decided to ask them again in his native language, Polish.
I said, do you Yankee bastards
need some help lighting your cigar? Still no response. He tried again in Russian and German.
Wow, he really is educated.
Yeah, he is, but still nothing. So he decided to check.
By the way, he's just showing off. What's the chances that it's one of these languages?
He tried again in Russian, German, sign language, Morse code, smoke signals.
Sent a homing pigeon.
Text, WhatsApp, Snapchat, Tinder.
Honk.
Well, he decided to check this thing out for himself. So he slowly walked over to investigate. The craft's metal was smooth, with no seams or bolts at all. The light from inside the ship was bright enough that he had to put on his welding goggles that he used to protect his eyes when prospecting. When he moved away from the open door, Stefan said that three panels slid across and sealed it shut. He couldn't help himself and he wanted to touch the side of the craft. But when he did, the fingertips of his gloves melted on his hands.
What?
Yeah, this thing is burning up.
Hot, hot, hot.
Too hot to handle. He jumped backwards as the humming of the ship grew louder and it began to spin counterclockwise. He said the last thing he noticed was a grid-like panel with holes in it pointing in his direction. And then, BAM! He was struck in the chest by a blast of fiery hot air that threw him backwards and set his clothes on fire.
Holy shit.
I'm assuming this is the craft getting the F out of T.
Okay, so he was basically like standing with his face to the rocket launcher of a NASA craft.
Exactly,
just poking around, touching it.
Yeah,
right
really
as they're at
idea.
T-minus 2 seconds to lift off.
A full-on countdown. I mean, he saw the door shut and the craft rotate, and this thing just blasted him in the face.
Whoa.
I could barely even handle it when I open up the oven too quick and I get blasted by my pizza air.
Blasted as with potato smiley face air.
I just can't wait, man. Those chicken nuggets have been in there 3 minutes, and I'm thinking it's worth the food poisoning at this point if I just get the nuggets, open up that oven door, and whoa, I'm blasted 5 feet backwards into the dishwasher just so I could get a taste of those sweet, sweet nuggets.
Are we still talking about the craft?
No, we're very much talking about last Tuesday.
Oh.
You probably noticed the scorch marks of my body against the wall. I thought it would cook the nuggets faster if I jacked up the heat. It was 20 minutes on 200, so I thought it would be 2 minutes on 2,000. That math was wrong. The nuggets were hot to touch, and they burnt the fingertips of my glove to
How
my finger.
Your oven goes up to 2,000? I have no idea.
Actually, if you're interested, I have a sketch of the nuggets that I did 30 minutes before placing them in the oven.
I'm sorry, let me get that straight. You sketched the nuggets for a good 30 minutes prior to cooking?
The frozen nuggets, yeah.
I thought you were so desperate to eat the nugs that you cranked the oven to 2,000.
Well, I thought it was going to cook them in 2 minutes, remember? So I thought I had 30 minutes to sketch the nuggets.
So you had a decent amount of time to cook and eat the nuggets.
Yeah, I had a decent amount of time. I could have cooked and eaten the nuggets in a normal amount of time, but then I wouldn't have these sketches, would I?
It's a cigar. Cigar.
Stefan was obviously in shock, dizzy, hurt, and in disbelief. He stumbled through the forest. And this is where the story began, when he bumped into the mounted police officer out on patrol. Now, sometime later in the story, Stefan was eventually treated and hospitalized for burns to his chest. But the strangest part was that the burn resembled a bizarre grid-like pattern.
What?
Yeah. So, I mean, usually someone claims they've been blasted by a grid-like shape on an alien craft and they are burnt, you know, if it's not just a big patch in there. If it is a big patch on their shirt, you might have some questions. But I need to show you the burn marks.
Crap,
on this man.
I forgot you said we got a ton of evidence.
We have photos of the burn marks on his clothes that caught fire and the burn marks on his actual chest in the hospital.
As I explained in previous episodes, I am more than happy to go out on a limb on a conclusion with simply hearsay, rumors, and such.
The Golden alone. Pyramid.
The Golden Pyramid of Truth. But if we do have evidence, I'm happy to see that too.
We'll take a look at this.
We have two images here. One is Stefan's undergarment, his vest, which he was wearing underneath a striped shirt. This seems to have taken the brunt of the blow. This thing is blown to smithereens,
yeah.
Really. Charred around the outside as if someone has just held a naked flame to it. It's blackened. But then right in the middle, there's kind of like as if someone toasted his vest in a waffle iron kind of pattern.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, actually.
It's a bit square, but with the kind of grid-like holes in the middle. And then a bit more disturbingly, underneath that, we have Stefan in presumably his hospital bed with his bare chest lying there, and the same grid-like pattern is very clearly visible on his stomach. I don't know what to make of that. That is nuts. Never seen anything like that.
It's nice having evidence, isn't it?
I mean, like,
it's like a whole nother show. This is crazy.
I can just end the show now. It is genuinely quite hard to imagine, you know, we're not doctors, but it's hard to imagine what kind of device, what kind of impact, what kind of blast would cause that. You would imagine anything hot enough to cause that degree of burn to literally singe his clothes,
yeah,
would leave a more generalized burn in and around this, the focus of the burn on his body.
Yeah.
Whereas what we have is just an incredibly precise, as if he just, like I say, fell asleep on a waffle iron.
100%, yeah.
Just perfectly burned into his chest.
I mean, the pattern is so strange, because as we said, I mean, the shirt is pretty much obliterated, but then when you look at his actual body, the burn marks are almost like pinpoints.
It's like laser.
Yeah. Yeah, what? I don't know of any type of device or military craft that, I don't know, would have a propulsion system where the trail would be so finely defined. It's very strange. But hell, there's a lot of military crafts that I don't know about and we don't know about. So, who knows, folks? Well, despite the bizarre nature of his injuries, Stefan eventually made a full recovery, which is great, and lived until 1999, wow. Until the age of 83. To the very day he died, Stefan continued to claim that his story was true. Now, when his son was asked about his father's story, he said, if you asked him what it was he saw, he could describe it in intimate detail, but he would never say it was definitely extraterrestrials, because there was no evidence to prove that. He might ask, well, what do you think I saw? But right up until he died, his story never changed one iota. Nothing about it or how he told it.
I thought you were about to tell me on his deathbed, however, he said they were grays. The world has to know.
What a way to go out. That's incredible.
Your wife leans in, you know, he's like, come closer, please. I'm weak.
Yes, honey, what is it?
Come closer. I have something important to tell you.
Of course, you're gonna miss your son.
My final word. No, it's not about the boy.
It's about me. Oh, my darling.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you too.
You're great. Okay, I love you too. But no, it's not about that. It's even
your father, perhaps. I know your relationship with him was rocky from the start.
Yeah, he was a bit of a bitch, time to time.
Don't swear on your deathbed. Your son is right beside you. He's very young.
Oh, Jesus, where did he come from? Well, I'm very weak, would you? Let me get it out already.
You swore again, baby.
Jesus.
Very impressionable.
I'm gonna die soon.
Mama, what's Papa talking about? Not see what you've done
Shut
now?
Shut the up!
Stefan!
They're grays!
All right, kid, this seems like a good time for us to take a step backwards.
Please.
Let's look at this
case. Step back from the extraterrestrial craft that's about to blast our faces off.
What are we thinking so far? It's a pretty remarkable story, but for once we actually have some evidence, which is refreshing.
Hot damn.
You know, makes some of the statements that Stefan is making, some of these claims, I don't know, quite strong.
Definitely. I mean, the burns alone, we don't that often come across bodily harm that is documented at a kind of medical level. He was admitted to hospital for these injuries. And it kind of leaves you with two scenarios when something like that happens, where we have to consider, is this a real paranormal phenomenon? This is what happened to him exactly as described, and he was blasted by a UFO causing these burns. Or is the eyewitness testimony here, is the person crazy enough that they have either willingly or accidentally hurt themselves in this way to make their story more believable? And what I would say about that is it seems like Stefan has a good character reference. He held on like a great career. His family believed him. He never really purported to have a crazy paranormal experience. He just told people plainly and clearly what happened to him.
Yeah.
He didn't evangelize this or try to make money out of it.
Yeah, I mean, and as far as a person goes, an industrial mechanic, I'm sure that takes a pretty high level of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
We already know he can speak like five languages, which either means he's smart or a spy. And I think actually previous to being an industrial mechanic, he was in the military.
Oh, wow. That's another twist.
Yeah, which doesn't come into it too much. But I mean, it shows you that he's not like some crackpot in the woods drinking moonshine and claiming that he punched Bigfoot.
But you said this is Canada, isn't it?
This is Canada.
So he was in the Canadian military, which is a whole other kettle of fish, the American military.
To be fair, I think he actually immigrated to Canada from Poland. So I don't know whether his military service was in the Polish military or the Canadian military.
Listen, he was stationed in Winnipeg. He had hair down to his butt cheeks. He was drinking maple syrup and playing cards for 10 years. That's what he was doing.
I have literally no point. I have no idea what point you're trying to make.
I'm just saying.
Are you trying to say he was Canadian? Or Canadian, he was a bad police officer?
The Canadian military is a goddamn gentleman's club.
Okay. Thank you for... I had no clue what was going on for a second. Okay, so it's a gentleman's club?
It's an absolute gentleman's club.
Right, and you're now assuming it was the Canadian military, not the Polish military.
Right.
Which I assume think is a Polish gentleman's club.
The Polish military? Here we go. They're sitting around sipping vodka, hair down to their kneecaps, playing games of Dupa Biszkupa.
So just a Polish version of...
Of course.
Right. Weird, you know, a Polish card game as well out of the box.
A what? I guess what I'm trying to say is I thought this might have more bearing because as far as I'm concerned, anyone that works for the US military is in on their Black Ops Area 51 style military technologies. But... knowing that he was in the military for a totally different country, this probably has less conflict with him seeing a potentially classified military aircraft.
Yeah, it also maybe justifies his decision to approach the craft and ask the Yankee boys if they need help. I guess maybe if you have served in the military,
yeah,
and you're a mechanic, you could have relayed that information to them had they responded to you.
Mm.
You could have been like, hey, I was in the military. I've worked with things like this before. If you're having some problems, let me know. I can maybe give you some help. Well, hey, I was the same with you. I read a number of different paranormal articles on this thing. By the time I finished reading, I was ready to slap a big fat yes on it. But the more research I did, the more I came across inconsistencies and some little details that made me a bit more skeptical.
Really?
And obviously, if I could choose, I wouldn't discuss these at all on the podcast, but I also believe in seeing both sides of the coin. So
sure.
I think it's only fair that we read out some of the more skeptical opinions from people who have investigated this case. So obviously the case drew a lot of attention from the local police who wanted to investigate the site. Unfortunately, when asked, Stefan initially couldn't find it, which is a bit of a red flag because presumably you are stating that this is a site where an alien craft landed and blasted a fiery hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And took off. And I mean, he seems like he was pretty together that night. So to be able to not find the site it would make me a little skeptical as well.
You can imagine them going to him. It's like, so where was it? He's like, I don't know. It's a big jungle out there. I don't know where it was. They're like, literally, give us like a 10-mile radius and we'll send out a team and we'll track it down. It's like, literally, give us any hint of anywhere near where it might have been.
There were some geese. There were some geese in a bush and they honked. It's like, we have this equipment that can actually detect radioactive sites. So if you could just point us in literally north or south, it's a coin toss. Really, it truly is. I was blasted so hard. Then there was the officer that Stefan bumped into on the night of the incident.
Right.
Now, in his report, he stated that Stefan showed him his burned hat as well.
Huh.
But when the officer asked why his head was not burned, he refused to answer.
What do you mean he didn't even make up an excuse?
Bear in mind, this is a man who's just been blasted in the chest by an alien beam.
Yeah.
So let's,
brain might have been scrambled.
It's mashed potatoes at this point. When the officer tried to get a look at the burns on his shirt, this is when he claimed he was radioactive and kept moving away from the officer. Again, it's not a good look because, you know, if there was a police officer on site willing to investigate you and you assume you're radioactive. I've never assumed in my life that I'm radioactive.
No.
And I've done
even
some
after
weird stuff.
After the oven chicken nugget episode.
Not even then. In the words of the police report, it looked like he had, quote, taken a black substance, possibly wood ashes, and rubbed them on his chest.
What?
But that's the police officer's statement
was his
of what it
Oh, okay, that was his
like.
Visual assessment.
Yes.
Whew. If because that was a doctor's assessment, this case would have been over long ago.
Because he did go to the hospital and he was treated for burns
Got
to his
it.
Chest. So he didn't just
Got
rub
it.
Dirt on his stomach.
Jesus Christ.
Life is full of awesome what ifs and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, when we bottle up our emotions, it can start to affect us negatively. Sometimes it's important that we get stuff off our chest.
Tell me about it. I found a UFO in the forest, and now this thing is attached to my chest.
Jesus, that's an alien. Mm-hmm. All right, I was speaking metaphorically about dealing with emotions and talking about our feelings by using services like BetterHelp.
I don't need to talk about my feelings. This thing can read my mind.
Therapy can be a great way to set boundaries and become the best version of yourself. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You're saying they can get things off my chest, like Zonktar here?
Don't give it a name.
Maybe me and Zonktar can sign up for BetterHelp together.
Give it a shot, and whatever it is, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ParanormalLife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ParanormalLife. When he was asked questions like, if touching the spaceship was hot enough to melt your glove, why isn't your hand burned? He refused to answer.
Okay.
The police officer also offered to actually give him a ride back to where he was staying.
Very kind.
Stefan refused.
Right.
Then called up a local newspaper and said, no press, just a ride. And I couldn't find online whether they hung up immediately or gave him a ride home. He did get home eventually.
What did he mean?
I don't know.
They're just like, what do you think a newspaper does, sir?
Also, I like to think that's all he said. He like calls the number. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. Hello, this is the Winnipeg Weekly Hotline. How can I help you? Do you have any good scoops?
No press, just ride.
Nope, I don't have time for this. Boom, just immediately hanging up on him.
The officer's walking away. Wait, can I still get a ride, sir?
Is it too late? You can look at my hat. I'm sorry.
Why isn't your head burned? F*** off. I mean, can I still have the ride?
Now, this is also one of the most damning parts of the conflicting statements. Stefan claimed that he had not been drinking on the day of the encounter.
Here we go.
Or any day that week.
Okay.
But a quick check with the local bartender confirmed that the night before the encounter, Stefan had come in and at least had 5 bottles of beer. But that was the night before the encounter.
Okay.
The police officer who bumped into him on that day did mention in his report that he looked and acted like he was intoxicated.
Okay.
But you look pretty freaking gone if you've been blasted in the chest by an alien death beam. All right.
Yeah, you would look pretty toasted. Your eyeballs be pretty red, and you'd probably have the munchies if you got abducted by an alien, too.
Oh, you want me to say the alphabet backwards? My legs are jelly, and I've been burnt by a freaking space waffle iron. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to do any of that, sir. He's like, okay, we'll just do the breathalyzer. Absolutely not! My breath is ash! Probably alien radioactive piss! I will not breathe into
that. His bottle's just falling out of his pocket.
They planted it on me, those little grays.
You know, they actually use bourbon as space fuel.
Police officer goes into his squad car. I'm going to need backup. I don't know what this guy's doing. He was either abducted by aliens or he's really drunk and I need to arrest him. He turns around and he's just spinning in circles going, do, 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 do. Cancel the first order. Just bring the SWAT team and the attack dogs.
That's dog is ass.
Okay, so there's a couple different things in this case that I don't have the time or care to mention. Mm. But we can blast through a couple of them because there are some important facts in here that are worth mentioning, even though I don't think that they necessarily impact the case at all. He was eventually able to find the site where he brought people to and also investigated himself. They measured the soil, which was slightly radioactive.
Okay.
But then scientists examined the soil in the entire region, and it was all a little bit radioactive because of some material that was like quite deep under the ground.
Sure.
He also claims to have investigated the site with a UFO enthusiast and recovered a piece of scrap metal that had been fused to the rocks by the landing site, which I can give you a little glimpse of here.
I'd like to see that.
There it is against a coin. So you can get an idea of the how big it is.
So that's the... Okay, that's a piece of... Okay, that's a piece of scrap metal.
It's a piece of scrap metal. I think it is some quite difficult to obtain silver.
Hmm.
I mean, still obtainable, but it wasn't just a piece of iron that was like melted to a rock.
It's just...
By a guy who owns the equipment that could melt shit to rocks.
Who went out there with the express purpose of mining rocks, by the way.
Of course, yeah.
It's also a bit weird that he claimed that this cigar-shaped craft was completely smooth, completely featureless, yet there's just scraps of metal just falling off this thing.
Yeah, and this isn't a piece of, like, silky, smooth, beautiful space metal. This looks like it was recovered from the Titanic. Like, it is...
Literally.
It's dissolving. It looks rusty. It's black. It's disgusting. Yeah, it's not the most convincing piece of evidence ever recovered from a crash site. And, of course, very shortly after the incident, he released his book, When They Appeared... Which was a retelling of the Falcon Lake incident. It is the inside story of a close encounter. The artwork for the cover is very interesting. It tells you more about, I think, the man than the story, but that's the cover of the book.
Well, there's so many, there's a lot of mixed signals.
Yeah, because we have the craft there in the middle of the woods. Everything kind of checks out so far. But then on the horizon, we have like the faded silhouettes of a bunch of men.
About 12 men.
In suit. They look like men in black, like MIB officers.
Okay, but some of them look like MIBs. This guy on the far left is just wearing a turtleneck. That's not an MIB. That's just a stylish gentleman.
And at no point were any of these men mentioned in the story at all.
No.
I don't know what... Maybe these were like characters or people he... That is a turtleneck. It's just a full-on turtleneck.
You never asked me who was piloting the craft. Who? None other than legendary jazz musician Miles Davis. Okay, book his ass.
So, I mean, this is the one thing that I've made it very clear before. I hate to see on the podcast, which is people having a motive for why they would fake a story like this.
People making a job out of the paranormal. People making money out of the paranormal.
Exactly.
It's nothing we hate more.
Exactly. Side note, obviously, patreon.com.
Obviously.
This Paranormal Life.
Make sure and go to
www.paranormalmembersclub.
Of course.
To get your way into the secret hotel. That'll cost you as well, obviously, all money. But people like this who have this agenda to monetize the paranormal, I can't stand them. That's
sick.
Unbearable. It's not what we like to see, and it does put a little bit of a dampener on a case that has so much fantastic evidence, like this case, the Falcon Lake incident. So with all this evidence in mind, all the pros, all the cons, what we need to do is take all of these ingredients and make a conclusion soup, which is either going to be sweet or sour, yes or no. Chef Kit, what's going on in your kitchen today?
Why is your soup sour? Why are you having a sour soup or indeed a sweet soup?
I don't know how to cook. That should be evident by now. What is it supposed to be? Cold?
Are we going to come down on a delicious, cold, sour mezze platter? Stefan has painted quite the picture. Quite the picture indeed. A lot of what he hit upon here were just textbook UFO close encounter tropes. It's fantastic. Yeah. And we got some first-hand evidence that was brilliant. I did think whenever we first saw that craft, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, so I didn't really say much. But I think you would maybe agree. That's a pretty generic sketch of a UFO.
Yeah.
It's not reinventing the UFO. What I like to see in my crazy hillbilly paranormal encounter drawings is, you know, a flare.
You want to see a cigar.
I want to see...
With little wings.
I want to see a gray riding a cigar like a bull at a rodeo. Honestly.
But the whole thing is, I mean, these like cliche UFOs and these cliche aliens, the grays with the big eyes. I mean, it's come from somewhere.
Mm.
Those ideas, they've been developed, and obviously they've been kind of like hijacked by the mainstream media and Hollywood and the retellings of these stories. But I mean, these ideas and these iconic UFOs have to come from somewhere, and maybe everyone's drawing the same ship because they all look the same and they're all real. You ever think of that?
It is possible.
If you ask me to draw a freaking hamburger, I'm not going to draw an apple because hamburgers are real, Kit. I don't need to reinvent them. I just draw the thing.
Okay, dude, calm down.
I'm just getting fired up.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, if an extraterrestrial came to Earth,
they saw... Yeah, what do you want me to do? Draw a cat. Draw a cat.
Stick with the hamburgers.
It's a hamburger. It's got two buns and a patty.
I know hamburgers look a bit like a UFO, but we've got to drop this metaphor. If an alien came to Earth and they saw one plane in the sky, and they might be like, whoa, that is crazy, dog. That is some human flying technology. That's pretty interesting. They sketched that down. If any other alien came to Earth, landed on any point on Earth, and basically 99.99999% of time that they see something flying in the sky, it's going to look exactly the same as that first sketch.
Exactly.
Because there's millions and millions of planes in the world and they all look the goddamn same.
Yeah.
We nailed it first time.
Perfect.
Oh, by we, I mean me. I'm taking credit for it. The Wright brothers knocked it out of the park.
How many flights have they taken? You've taken twice as many. the Wright brothers.
Wright brothers, what do they get? 50 meters? Mate, I've flown long haul.
You've done Heathrow to LA, baby.
I've done long haul economy. They were in something below economy for sure. Didn't even get peanuts. It's possible that this is a real meme.
Yeah.
Anyway, all this aside, I guess what I'm pointing at is that's suspicious to me, that nothing about this was unique as an encounter, but rather it was a classic encounter. It kind of borrowed from all different stories we've heard before.
It's true.
And that leaves us with the possibility that this is just a textbook UFO encounter, or that exists only in the mind of Stefan.
A plagiarized UFO encounter. It's a dangerous line that we walk, that we tread every day. But unfortunately, we have to come down on a conclusion. So based on the evidence, Kit, where are you landing?
I was pretty on board, like you, until you started sowing the seeds of doubt. And I'm glad you had the cojones to come on here and tell us the truth that Stefan's a bit of a booze hound. And he wanted to keep that from us. And now I'm starting to think that my initial diagnosis of him falling asleep in a waffle iron could be closer to the truth than we first thought.
Yeah, I mean, I was the same way. I was so ready to give this case a yes until I investigated a little bit deeper and I found some of the skepticism that followed him as the years went on. Granted, a lot of that skepticism has been dealt out by the force, by the police.
Right.
You know, which obviously if they've been instructed by their higher ups, they're going to say, oh, he was drunk that night.
Oh, you don't think they have empty bottles in the squad car and they just throw one down and they go, you look like you've been drinking, Stefan.
100% that's what happens. Yeah. Yeah. To a guy like this walking around with welding gear. It's an easy sell. It's absolutely an easy sell. So I was quite on the fence. I think what I would have liked is one more bit of convincing evidence. If Stefan had been able to go back to the site within a couple of days, that would have been great.
If he'd been a little more forthcoming, it would have helped for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was measured for radioactivity and there might have been a tiny spike, but not enough. I mean, not the amount you would assume you'd be after being blasted in the chest by an alien exhaust.
Also, he's an industrial mechanic. He definitely gets a little bit more juice than everyone else in their day job.
100%. Mining, like, radioactive rocks in the forest is probably not going to help. So I think anything more that had come forward from his side, and I would have been close to giving this one a yes. I love a good UFO encounter. They're one of my favorite ones to investigate. But unfortunately, I think for this week, it's going to have to be a no from me.
I think that makes it a double no, folks.
A big old bowl of ice cold sour soup, unfortunately. But wow, what a great case. And thank you so much to Emily for emailing that in to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure to email in your own submissions, guys. We've actually got a couple recently that we love and we're going to take a look at. So keep sending them in and hopefully we'll get to investigate your case. If you enjoyed the show, if you want more of the show, if you want to hear your name shouted out and probably made fun of right here at the end of the podcast, you can check out This Paranormal Life on Patreon, where for small amounts, you can get big rewards, baby. And you can get bonus episodes and have a blast. And it's a really great time for just a few bucks. So definitely check that out because it's the best place to go right after the This Paranormal Life Secret Society.
Uh-oh.
This is a society where the elitist of the elite, the smartest of the smart, the most dangerous of the danger, gather together to fight, drink, and investigate.
Because you would think that all the people that you just described wouldn't have a lot of free time. Au contraire, mes amis. These people have nothing to do but shite post.
Exactly. And those are the kind of people I want to be around. Those are the kind of like my... It's like a hive of bees, but the bees don't give a shit about honey anymore.
No.
They give a shite about memes. And they all meet in the fantastic This Paranormal Life Facebook Secret Society. So check that out if you're on Facebook and come hang out with everyone over there. And as we said, if you do support us on Patreon, you get your name shouted out right here on the podcast. So let's do this.
Thank you to Steve Lones.
Steve, you'll never be alone, S. Because you got two pals right here, me and Kit. And we need a place to stay, brother. Because we getting evicted. So hope that couch folds out, because that's where you'll be sleeping, buddy. That's right, we're taking your bed.
Oh, yeah. And we'll probably get you evicted, so let's start looking for the next person who's going to take the three of us.
Yeah, but in the meantime, thanks so much for your support.
Thanks also to Jose Acosta. This son of a bitch. I was walking on the street the other day, and out of nowhere, Jose accosted me.
No way, Jose.
He straight up asked me for cash in the street.
He
mugging style.
You? Okay, so he didn't ask you for cash. He very much took
well,
it.
Well, he asked,
you.
But he also had a dangerous glint in his eye, which I thought was pretty
So he didn't have a
actually.
Weapon either.
Oh, well, he had a bat.
So he did have a weapon.
But he was wearing a baseball cap.
So he did. So it was.
And the catcher's mitt,
yeah.
Of course. He was threatening me with the bat, however.
Right. I think it's safe to say you were robbed. He stole your money.
Yes, but Acosta sounds better with his name.
It does. Acosta sounds a little bit better. But
no,
he
robbed.
He robbed
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
It was like he actually bat one of your shins pretty badly. Is that why you have the cast on this
week? I gave him the money and he hit me with the bat.
Nice. Well, hey, now he's giving us money, so it all works out. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks also to Jessica Blunt.
I'm pretty sure Jessica is in Distressica because her Patreon message just came in like, I just found it on the beach in a glass bottle.
Wow.
And it was like, help, I'm stranded. Here's my debit card.
Yep.
Please use this to fund rescue mission. I'm stuck on an island.
Oh,
and
wow.
I thought, Jessica, gotcha. I'm going to sign you up on our premium level. This is obviously what she would have wanted.
Of course. Once she gets back to society, she'll have a host of bonus content waiting for her.
Of course. So don't worry, Jessica. You are on our top. I think it's like $100 a month, which we don't even have a tier for, which is crazy
for
your support. For
you, yeah.
So thank you. I hope someone's coming and we'll keep the bonus episodes warm for you.
Thanks also to Patrick Winshittle. Patrick actually has a hat trick up his sleeve.
Oh, it's like a magician.
It's like a fun little party trick.
Okay.
Well, it's more that he, like Odd Job in James Bond, his hat has a razor blade surrounding it. He throws that and it slices and dices people.
Right, it's not really... You said it was a trick.
Well, it is a trick, because What's you think trick? It's a hat, but it's a weapon? Deadly weapon.
That's not a trick.
It is a trick.
So if I own an umbrella that's also right. a sword...
Yeah.
Do you think that's a trick? Do you think that's... I mean, someone's been tricked, yeah. obviously, because...
Yeah, it's a trick. It's a party trick. Woo, party trick. Fun little party trick.
Cut the cake with the umbrella. Hey, oh, you stabbed the man. Oh, the umbrella's actually pretty freaking swordy. Hard to swing around.
Oh, you made fun of my umbrella. No arms for you anymore.
You try and put on your blade hat, cut your own head. Ah! Patrick, we warned you not to buy the hat. Shut up!
Also, if it's not raining, you don't get any weapons. No yeah, hat or
it's so
umbrella.
Hot today, you really should take the hat off. Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks also to Jamie Shaw.
Caw, caw, caw. It's Jamie Shaw. Half guy, half magpie. With a glint in his eye.
Whoa.
For apple pie.
I thought magpies take shiny things.
Yeah, well, they gotta eat, don't they? Kit?
You can't eat shiny things.
They can't eat a man's watch.
True.
That would kill them. So I think that actually if you put a fresh apple pie, a magpie would actually... It's part of their freaking name for a start, so... Don't come at me with birds shit if you don't know. Literally, if you don't know shit about birds. So,
you do have a bunch.
How big is a crow egg? If you think you're so smart, how big is a crow's egg?
I didn't say you didn't. Okay, fine.
How big is a crow egg?
Like an inch across.
That was a lucky guess.
Okay.
How big is a pigeon's egg?
I mean, pigeon crow, they're kind of similar. I guess an inch across. You seem like, yeah, oh, you thought I wouldn't get those, I guess. You have a lot of bird tattoos as well.
And egg tattoos, all an inch across. Every bird lays a similar egg. You're like, well, not an ostrich. Oh, what? What the hell is that? Is that some type of crow, sir? Listen, Jamie Shaw, you're obviously half man, half bird. I don't know what size your eggs are, but I'm glad that you're laying enough to fund a subscription to the Paranormal Patreon. Thank you so much.
Thanks also to Francisco Gomez.
More like Francisco Romez, the first baby to ever be born at sea. And his parents took one look at him and said, "Nah." Threw him into the ocean, and this little baby rowed his way back to shore. That's why they call him Romez. He obviously became an Olympian after that.
Fine age of two.
At the fine age of 2.5, actually, sir.
Sorry.
And then, this was before the steroid scandal and everything at 2.5.
Because no one questioned
a
how
baby.
He went from infant to Olympian rower.
Yeah, no one wants to ask a baby if they're on steroids. A cute little baby. So he got away with it for quite a while. But I'm glad to see that he's obviously pawned his Olympic golds to fund a very important subscription to the Paranormal Patreon.
He was walking into the Rio Games. They were like, sir, can we get your sample? He's like, goo goo gaga, f*** off. Like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Baby.
6'9", jacked, but still in a diaper.
Thanks lastly, but not leastly, to Brie Van De Geer. Brie is everyone's favorite type of cheese, and Brie is everyone's favorite type of person. Brie has about 1.2 million Facebook friends.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Zuckerberg tried to shut her down, but they take down Brie, that takes on the whole platform. No one has any friends left.
Exactly. And of course, if he takes down Brie, you know he's going to take down Cheddar. You know he's got to take down Edam.
Cheddar is arguably even more popular than Brie, yeah. Let's be honest.
And these aren't cheeses. These are just weirdly popular people with cheese-based names. But Brie is the queen. The Queen Brie.
Of course.
So I'm glad she's still up. I'm glad she's obviously making some money off those Facebook friends. And I'm so glad that she's supporting the This Paranormal Life Patreon. Guys, thank you so much for all your support. If you're waiting on your shout out, don't worry. I'm sure it's just around the corner. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Thank you for the email submission. And we will be back next week with a brand new paranormal tale. But until then, folks, remember to live fast, investigate, and die young, baby.
Planning for your next trip? Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.